Well, our next sojourn into opera tonight, one of Puccini's darkest and most tightly dramatic. In Sardou's play, La Tosca, he found, he said, the perfect opera. One, he said, without excessive proportions or a decorative spectacle, nor is it the kind that calls for a superabundance of music. Well, what there is absolutely hits the spot. It's at the Royal Opera House, Covent Garden. Here, the painter Cavaradossi, sung by one of my first guests, Jonas Kaufmann. Tosca's lover is condemned to death by the sadistic chief of police, who of course is in love with Tosca himself. He writes her a final letter, memories of past delights, before the dark closes in. The great dramatic moments from Puccini's Tosca, Luci van le Stelle. Jonas Kaufmann is Cavaradossi in the Prague Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Marco Amigliato. And that's, well, his latest recording on the Decca label of romantic arias, and very beautiful they are. It's really taken the action of Tosca a little bit further than we meant to, Jonas, but never mind, because you're in jail, but at least you're still alive.
Exactly.
They haven't managed to kill you off. It's such a wonderful piece. Just listening to that, I said, do you have to be really tearful when you're doing that? Because it is, you think you're saying goodbye to her and goodbye to life.
Exactly. In my opinion, this piece is written like the whole opera, I have to say. I mean, it's really a masterpiece. I mean, nobody doubts that Puccini was a genius, but I mean, even within his work, you can maybe say some are great and some are unbelievably good. And this Tosca is certainly my favorite. And when you listen carefully to this music, the music that is before, I mean, we start this aria traditionally at that point where we heard it right now. But actually, there is another more than a minute of music that leads us into this mood that starts with the clarinet. And therefore, it's very easy to fall into this certain mood, into the emotional situation, because there's nothing you need to do. You just listen to the music and it guides you exactly where you need to be, and everything drops and falls off from you, and you come down to the essentials, and you realize, according to the situation, I mean, what your life has been, you're reflecting and you realize that you love the life now as much as you never have loved it before, just because you love that woman so much.
Well, that's only if you're good, you can do that. Luckily, you're good at it. That's fine. Wonderful as Alfredo and La Traviata, which is the last time you were here, of course.
Thank you.
With Netrebko. You've got another leading lady tonight, Michaela Carossi, making her debut at the Royal Opera House. And here on In Tune, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
You've cleaned up very well. I gather you were covered in blood earlier. So you've taken the blood away.
Yes, all around my face, on my hand.
Well, you come, as they say, in an excited way, very highly recommended. Have you done Tosca before?
I've done in Monte Carlo and in Frankfurt, so twice time.
And you're never really away from the emotional heart of the opera, are you? Tosca is a really central figure.
It's a really difficult character, because you have always to maintain your calm, because you have to sing a lot, and you have also to paint all the different color of the Tosca, because Tosca has a different planes of emotion. So you must do everything, but without losing your reason.
Yeah. Well, you rather like the onus has to be on the edge of despair to sing the aria we've just heard. You, of course, have to be on the edge of despair so often, haven't you? And especially when you think he's going to be killed, and you might have to give in to the sexual demands of the wicked Scarpia.
It's really interesting to know that there are three prayers in this opera, three different colors. One is Te Deum, the second is Vissi d'arte, and the third one is O dulci mani along with the carezze. And there are three different moments in which the characters are praying for praying God, and praying for our lives.
Yeah. But dramatically, of course, it's, I mean, almost like no other opera. The pace is inexorable. Once it starts, it's just almost over in a trice. And you were saying before we began, Jonas, that it's, in a way, it's like a movie.
Exactly. It really reminds me of on a movie because, as you said, the pace is really going on and there's no phrase, in vain or whatever. It's nothing too much. It's so essential. It's just on the point. And especially, I would say, second act. I mean, it really grabs you. The music is so rich and so powerful. And as I was saying before, it really reminds me on the James Bond theme. And probably he's got that from Puccini because that's the way it is. And that shows how frightened Tosca is and how powerful and mean the Scarpia is. As she was saying before, I mean, you mentioned that. I mean, Tosca is an extremely demanding part because she's almost all the time on stage. She's singing so much. And when I was looking carefully the first time at my part, I realized only how little compared to her I have to sing. Because you always
terrible
see...
Terrible for a tenor.
Well, no, that's fine. No, I mean, I'm getting some of the best bits. So yeah, that's not... Yeah. I can't complain. But you see...
The most beautiful music is for
the interesting thing is, you're talking about the long duet that we have in third act. And if you look at it carefully, she's singing two or three arias and I'm having some beautiful lines in between. And nobody realizes that she's singing way more than I am. So I'm very thankful to have such
that's
a great partner here.
Well, I think we'll have that at the end. You haven't recorded it yet, so
no.
We'll have to go for another one. But it's the Te Deum from the end of Act One now, because this just gives us an idea, I suppose, of the detail, the filmic detail that Puccini went into. I mean, he went to Rome to make sure he got the bells right. He got the sort of the tenor of the St. Peter's bell. The bells from Castel Sant'Angelo, I think he checked up on the plain song, on the procession, because this is, I think, we're in the church now, and Scarpia has poisoned your mind. He's put a little suggestion in that Cavaradossi may be unfaithful, and so you are feeling betrayed and maybe just a little bit of jealousy. He sowed that jealousy, and then this great procession of clerics come through, led by the cardinal, incense, crosses, you name it, it's all there, and Scarpia, of course, is there lustfully in the background. Doesn't come much more dramatic than that. The end of Act One of Puccini's Tosca, that recording with Carian and Vienna with Taddeo Scarpia. Leontine Price is the great Tosca. Well, Jonas Kaufmann is Cavaradossi, the good guy, really, in the opera. And Michele Carossi is Tosca, and a Roman as well. We're just listening to that. And the chorus singing the praise to God while the wicked Scarpia is singing, they end up almost in concert, which makes it, I think, more terrifying, doesn't it? That there's this wickedness and goodness singing together, side by side.
Yeah, they sing the same theme, but with different intention, with a different color. And Scarpia, we were talking before, is like Iago. He is costruendo, he's building. Yeah. He's a... yes, his track, Tappola.
Ah, the trap, yeah, exactly.
The trap. He's exactly, building with intention.
He's setting a trap.
Exactly,
yes,
yeah, exactly. As you said before, I mean, he so finds this fan that from that...
Vintaglio.
Vintaglio,
si, si,
exactly.
Much more romantic
that,
name than yes, a fan.
That the sister of Angelotti put into the chapel for his brother with all the other female clothes that he can escape dressed as a woman. And he forgets the fan when he rushes away. And Scarpia finds it. And instead of saying he found it in the chapel, he said, I found it way up there where you're lover Cavaradossi is painting his picture.
And he's
so
painting.
That means there must be a woman
There's
with
a
him.
Woman. Uh-huh. And of course he's painting the Madonna, but it doesn't look, as we know. So
exactly.
We'll hear later.
It looks like the sister of Angelotti.
It looks
that's the point.
Like this other woman with fair hair and blue eyes. Yes. Uh-huh. Very foolish Cavaradossi. But anyway, where would we be in opera without a little bit of foolhardiness? And we should, I suppose, the opera starts then with this the guy on the run who comes to Cavaradossi for help, and he gets involved. And really, Scarpia, the wicked chief of police, uses him to get at Tosca. And it's an extraordinary tense... You can't really call it a love triangle, can you? It's sort of love and lust, really.
Yeah, I mean, there are several things that cause the problem or the trouble there. And I think the main thing is, since Cavaradossi is not believing in or not a real a Christian believer in God, he doesn't trust Tosca to keep the secrets, because he says she's confessing in church, which means probably some of Scarpia's spies will know sooner or later what she's been told. So that's why he keeps secret from her that there's this other a guy who escaped from prison who he tries to help him. And that's where the whole problem starts. If he would have told her, everything would have been fine, because in second act, when she's interrogated by Scarpia, she would have known that it's not another woman there. But since she's so jealous, she finally tells him the truth.
Too late to rewrite the libretto now, I'm afraid.
Unfortunately.
To take it as it is and not patter that either. Well, of course, there's this great second scene where you confront Scarpia and you're not going to give up your virtue. You kill him, but you think you've got a safe passage, of course, for your lover. But then it's a double nastiness. He's really done him in, hasn't he? He's gone back on his word. So it's very dark. It's very dark indeed.
Yes, and also she decided to kill Scarpia after praying. So this is really a dark moment in which she realized that she has no help from nobody. So she has no choice. And so in this production, we have a beautiful statue, how do you...
Statue
yeah. of San Michele, San L'Arcangelo Michael.
Yeah.
Yes, my name. That fight against the devil con la spada.
Yeah, with the sword.
Yeah, and she catch the idea of kill Scarpia with...
When she sees the Archangel Michael with the
yes,
sword.
Yes, looking at the Archangel exactly. Michael. So it's really interesting because Scarpia has it in his office. In Palazzo Farnese, he has this statue.
Yeah, he probably didn't choose it.
Exactly.
Tell our listeners, don't try this at home, please, if you have a religious statue of the Archangel Michael.
No, but I think that he has the two different... come si dice?
Yeah, he has two sides, two faces.
Yeah, yeah, two faces.
Because
he's
extremely religious, and on the other, he's behaving in a way that is absolutely not according to...
It's interesting to see also this.
It's not the first time that people have used either patriotism or religion or anything else to blind them to what they should be doing.
Well,
it's a story of our civilization.
Yeah.
So it's all there. It's all there. Well, I'm sure you'll make it wonderful. You've got Paolo Gavinelli as Scarpia, which should be nice and dark. Antonio Papano conducts. And it's a revival of Jonathan Kent's marvellously dark and grand production, isn't it? So it gives you the perfect backdrop. Good luck, Michele, in your debut. And Jonas, wonderful to be back again.
Thank you.
And thank you both very much indeed for being with us. And until you've recorded it between you, it's Giuseppe Di Stefano. I hope that's all right. And Leontine Price, they're not bad, really, either, are they? So it's the great love duet. Cavaradossi has been hiding, of course, this man in the chapel. Tosca is very jealous indeed, but of course her love, I think, in the end, will win out. Even those we've said, when it comes to painting the eyes in the portrait, she says, make them dark.